Tackling the problem of hunger during the pandemic. Food insecurity was already a pressing issue in Maine before COVID-19 hit. Now there are even more people than before with bare cupboards and not enough to eat. It's estimated 25% more Maine households struggle with hunger than a year ago. All over the state, there are people and organizations stepping forward to help, from food pantries to farmers and fishermen. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, we will learn about the initiatives to feed people and to let people know it is okay to seek help. We'll discuss the impact of the Biden administration's order to boost SNAP benefits, and we'll learn about an effort to end hunger in Maine in a decade. Maine Calling is next, but first, this news. Welcome to Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Hunger has been a persistent problem in Maine for a long time now, but with the fallout of the pandemic, even more people are facing food insecurity. Today, we will hear about some of the challenges and how people are finding ways to help. My guests, Kristen Maley, who is president of Good Shepherd Food Bank, and Bob Gwinden, who is Disaster State Relations Liaison and Mass Care Lead for the Maine Emergency Management Agency. We invite your questions or comments. Are you or your family struggling with trying to figure out how to eat because you've lost your job or maybe have fewer hours? Send an email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, post a comment to our Facebook page, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. Bill and Kristen, thank you both so much for joining us today. And Kristen, I know this isn't the first time we've had a similar conversation during this pandemic. I want to ask you about now. Have things gotten any better or not really?
Yeah, not yet. We certainly are still seeing a dramatic increase in need from where we were 1 year ago. We're seeing probably about a 25% increase in hunger across the state. In some communities, it's even more. So that means over, you know, about 215,000 Mainers are experiencing hunger, including 60,000 children. And so, you know, we're just recognizing that this pandemic has really just put a magnifying glass on so many issues that existed prior to COVID and are just amplified during the pandemic. But fortunately, we have an amazing network of 500 partners and great partners like Bill who are just doing everything they can to make sure people are getting the food they need.
And Kristen, I know that you have just launched a new campaign trying to reach those people who maybe have not used a food bank before, letting them know it's okay. Tell me about that.
Yeah, this is something that we were starting to hear from some of our partners is that they were seeing new faces coming to the food pantry, people that they've never seen before. And what we heard across the board is the first thing that people say is, I'm so sorry. And, you know, and that's the last thing they should be doing is apologizing. This is absolutely through no fault of their own that they're experiencing this. And we wanted people to know that the food pantries are there and they're there with compassion and to help. I got an email, which I thought just summarized it perfectly. It was from Donna Rand, who's one of our amazing coordinators at the food pantry in Gray. And she said she had a woman who called her in tears and just apologizing, saying she never thought she would need a food pantry. You know, and Donna just said, I told her, you are welcome at the Gray Community Food Pantry with open arms anytime. And we wanted people to know that's who's on the other side who's going to be helping you. And so we did this public awareness campaign called You Are Not Alone, making sure people knew about the food pantries in their area, how to reach out and what to expect when you first go, because it might be kind of, if it's a new experience, it may be uncomfortable, but we assure you that people are there to help and they're there with open arms and compassion.
And I want to get an update on something. I understand that you had some really great news kind of fall from the sky in December when the Good Shepherd Food Bank was one of the recipients of a grant from Mackenzie Scott. At the time, Good Shepherd didn't say what you were going to do with that money or how much it was. And I understand that it wasn't something you expected. Now that you've had some time to think, what can you tell us about how much it was and what the use will be?
Yeah, so I actually wish we were doing this call 24 hours from now, because we're actually doing a press release on it tomorrow morning. So we are very close to announcing. We are pre-announcing today with our partners and our staff and some of our key stakeholders, and then it will be publicly announced tomorrow. But the reason why is because, as you said, it is a big gift for the food bank, for sure. But it also happened to come at a time where we were about to be announcing a campaign, campaign to end hunger in Maine by 2025. And so we just wanted to kind of, you know, line up that that coordination, as well as have a few moments to sit with our senior team and our board to say, you know, does a gift like this change anything? And we found, you know, it really didn't. Our mission's the same. Our strategy is the same. We've had the same goal since 2015, which was to make sure that all Mainers have access to the healthy food they need to thrive by 2025. And this gift just means that we are closer than ever to reaching that goal. And we're really excited to be able to be sharing that with everybody soon, as well as more details about how we plan to put that funding to use. And I will say, you know, one sneak peek, if I am happy to share, is this investment, while it came through the food bank, this is an investment for Maine. And we plan to use it as such, to invest in community assets across our state to make sure that every community has the resources they need to fully meet the need for hunger relief for their neighbors.
Bill Gwinden, I want to bring you into the conversation here. There's been some news lately about federal funding, CARES mm-hmm. Act money from Congress, and also the Biden administration signing a new executive order that has to do with SNAP benefits and some other food benefits. Let's start with the CARES Act funding from Congress. What does that mean for Maine? How is it being used in terms of food insecurity?
Well, what it does, it allows for some of our nonprofits that are out there, like the food banks, like Good Shepherd Food Bank and other food banks and food pantries and soup kitchens that have established partnerships with a governmental agency or a county emergency management agency, to actually get reimbursed for some of their expenses. They're called emergency eligibility protective measures. So they're able to, you know, there's a lot of expenses, especially due to COVID, that have come up that nobody would ever thought of. Who would ever thought we'd have to put plastic shields in or redesign how we operate and just general supplies, because the demand's high. So some of those federal resources financially are allowing those entities to actually submit for reimbursement, and in some cases as much as 100%. So that's been going on since the start of the actual pandemic, and we work with different food partners like Good Shepherd, all over the state, Catholic Charities, Salvation Army, just a variety of different partners out there that actually are able to benefit, because it does cost more to do more. And this is something that's really been beneficial. And not all will partake in it, but one of the benefits is that we understand that there is a need in our state, and we are really advocating with our federal partners how important it is for Mainers to be fed. You know, as mentioned earlier, the feeding insecurity issue was poor. We were one of the highest in the country prior to COVID. Now it's increased more with more people losing jobs, some of the seasonal employment changes, stuff like that. So the demands is higher. So any financial resources we can get from the federal government. And then also part of this is allowed through this partnership, if you with the federal government, is allowed our local and county partners to come together more to share information and collaborate. So that's been a benefit of that and the outcome, just like working with Good Shepherd. We work on a regular basis with our partners across the state to make sure that the needs are being met, that people are being fed. And then again, getting to the point where people realize it's okay to ask for help.
Bill, tell me about the Biden administration executive order. What does that mean for Maine? I've read that it, for example, helps students in school, maybe a greater benefit for them. What else? What are the other on-the-ground practical implications of this new executive order?
Well, a lot of things are in, are in the transition phase right now, because the actual specific details have not been put to play. There's agencies like FEMA, USDA, and HUD that are actually in the process of determining how that process of getting the funds out and resources out will be determined. We should see more of that in the next couple of weeks, because it's happened so fast. So it's really fluid right now. One of the benefits is the ability to continue to provide school nutrition programs statewide at schools that want to continue to participate. More open, even if they're closed, they can still do it. And like in the summer, we had school nutrition programs going throughout the state. Majority of the schools in the state continued those programs. So that need that would typically be provided only during the school year was provided year long and will continue on. So having that and SNAP benefits, allowing more funds available for individuals to actually go out and purchase food and meet their food needs individually through like a card, almost like a credit card or a debit card, if you will, but having more resources available, but also streamlining of the process to be eligible and get access to the funds in a more timely manner. It's not like it used to be where you had to go through different steps. It's a little bit more efficient, if you will, but also is meeting many of the needs in a more timely manner.
Kristen, it sounded like you wanted to add to that.
Oh, I was just going to say, yeah, that the other pop piece that's in the executive order that we're particularly excited about is that they're going to review the Thrifty Food Plan, which is how the amount of SNAP benefits is determined. And this has been an issue predating well before the pandemic. The average SNAP benefit in Maine is around $1.28 per meal, which anyone who goes grocery shopping knows that is far from enough money to cover a cost of a meal in Maine. And so so this is something that we'll see. This is going to have benefits even well beyond well beyond the pandemic. Indeed, a significant amount of people that we serve, we know many of them are on SNAP, but they say, my SNAP benefits run out within the first 10 days, and then they need to rely on the food pantry for the second half of the month. And so this revision to the Thrifty Food Plan is long overdue, and we're so thrilled to see the Biden administration picking this up.
All right. Well, joining us now, Maureen Bean, who is organizer of the Burlington Food Pantry. Thanks so much for calling in, Maureen.
Hi. Yes, thank you for having me.
I understand that the Burlington Food Pantry is fairly new. Tell us how and why it got started.
Thank you. We are in March when all of these things started to happen. I found myself out of a job. We had had a little food pantry going over the years, but nothing official. A building and a facility was offered to us, and we started a food pantry. Good Shepherd partnered with us, and were able to get some food to us, and we started, and we're now serving more than 200 people who can depend on us for food. So it's been quite a journey. People have been so appreciative, and we have an open policy that if we can help you, please come.
What do you hear from the people who are coming, Maureen? What are their stories?
Overall, I would say 90% of them have never, ever been to a food pantry before. They are kind. They are very appreciative. Mm-hmm. We have never had a complaint, which amazes me. They're just so grateful. And I've even said some of the things may be different, but share them with your friends. And they do that, because we do have to prepack boxes and give them to them so they can't choose what they have, but they can share. And that again, is a wonderful opportunity for them as well.
Maureen, Burlington's not a big city. It's a small town. Are you surprised to have 200 people you are serving?
Wow. Yes, I'm very surprised. We've had as many as 290 at one point during the summer. And yes, we have a little town here that's kind of at the end of the road and often forgotten. We're in Penobscot County. But people have come, and they don't have to be from Burlington. The majority of our people are, but surrounding communities, anywhere that if they would like to come, we help them. And yes, we have been very surprised, but we have young families and we have retired people and everyone in between, and we all need food. So,
yeah. And before I let you go, Maureen, let me ask you about how you keep everybody safe, because you've obviously started this because of the need that was induced by the pandemic, but you also are dealing with the pandemic and certainly want to keep the people volunteering at your food pantry and the people receiving the food healthy.
Yes, thank you. We have a drive-through. Everyone stays in their cars. We have pre-packed boxes and bags that we ask them to open. They all get in a line, go around in a circle. They roll down their windows ahead of time or open their trunk. We have a big sign at the beginning of our driveway that says, please wear a mask. We provide masks for them. We all wear masks and gloves, and we quickly put their items into their vehicles and tell them thank you for coming, see you in a couple weeks, and they're on their way.
Well, Maureen, thank you so much for calling in. That's Maureen Bean with the Burlington Food Pantry, as she mentioned, in Penobscot County. Kristen, I want to ask you, Maureen mentioned that these are people who say they've never come to a food pantry before, that they've never experienced hunger before. Are there estimates of how many people in Maine are experiencing this for the first time during this pandemic?
About. So we have... we've been surveying our partners every month since March and asking them a lot of questions about how the need has changed from the previous 30 days. And we've always been asking them consistently what percentage of the people you're seeing are new. And we estimate that overall our network serves around 175,000 people. And consistently it's been about 10% of the people they're seeing are new or first time coming to the food pantry. So it's an estimate, but usually the folks like Maureen, they know their work and they're pretty good at seeing what's happening. So while that's certainly a big number for sure, I think it also highlights that a lot of the growth then is coming from, yes, from new faces and from people who were using the food pantry before, but now are needing to come perhaps more often because the degree of their food insecurity has worsened.
All right. Well, we are going to take a quick break. We're talking about hunger in Maine during the pandemic. Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. You can send an email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post a comment to our Facebook page. We'll be right back.
Listener support brings us Maine Calling with help from Bristol Seafoods Fair Trade North Atlantic Wild Scallops, harvested from the Gulf of Maine and found in the freezer at your local Hannaford. And by Eco Maine, now accepting Eco Excellence Award nominations for people and businesses who make a difference in Maine. More at ecomaine.org.
I'm Marco Werman. Each day, we give you the world.
They don't want people driving into the center of London.
The world is curious.
It's a total chaos in Venezuela right now.
The world is surprising.
The Australian government is completely clueless.
The world is unexpected.
The Japanese really have made history today.
The world is right here. Join us.
Join us for the broadcast of The World this afternoon at 3 p.m. here on Maine Public Radio. This past year has highlighted how important community is and how important it is to connect and support one another. For that reason, Maine Public is partnering with Maine Community Foundation and Good Shepherd Food Bank for our Pledge from Home Community Impact Drive beginning next Wednesday on Maine Public Radio. During the drive, you'll have an opportunity to double the impact of your support. For every gift made to Maine Public, Maine Community Foundation will donate 33 meals to Good Shepherd Food Bank. Through your gift, you'll be investing in the trusted, reliable, and educational programming you count on to keep us all connected, and your donation will result in 33 meals for Good Shepherd Food Bank thanks to Maine Community Foundation. That's the Pledge from Home Community Impact Drive beginning next Wednesday here on Maine Public Radio.
Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on the program, what is being done to help address hunger in these difficult times? Joining me, Bob Gwinden, who is the Disaster Relief and Mass Care Coordinator for the Maine Emergency Management Agency, and Kristen Maley, who is president of Good Shepherd Food Bank. We'd love to hear from you. Send an email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, post a comment to our Facebook page, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. Are you volunteering at a local food pantry, or are you in a position where you've had to visit one for the first time? Call us and tell us your experience, 1-800-399-3566. On the line with us now is Sue Powers. She is Director of Programs for Aroostook County Action Program. Sue, thanks for calling in.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Tell us about your experience in Aroostook County. What are some of the pressing needs affecting families in your part of the state?
Well, one of the significant needs of most families or many families in Aroostook County is transportation. Many families lack transportation or lack the resources to keep a vehicle on the road. So traveling to pick up food or to the food pantries has been a challenge. We've at Aroostook County Action Program, we've implemented some systems to make sure that families with children are receiving food on a regular basis. We're delivering to homes, and that's working pretty well. So
that's wonderful. What was I going to say? What do you hear from the people who are coming in?
People are extremely appreciative. The need for food right now is critical. Being in the winter months as well, it is more difficult for people to get out. So when they can get in, they're much appreciating the opportunity and the availability of food. We have several community cupboards in Aroostook County, and people who are able to are keeping those cupboards filled, which is extremely helpful. For families, they're open 24 hours a day, so people can come whenever they're around or to the closest cupboard in their community.
And what about older people who don't have access to transportation? Are you able to help them?
There are services in Aroostook County to help people. ACAP's HEAT program also connects the older population up with family coaches, and the family coaches at ACAP make sure that those needs are met for the senior population. Yes.
Well, Sue, thank you for joining us. Sue Power with the Aroostook County Action Program. We're going to go to Doug, who is calling in from Portland. Hi, Doug. Go ahead.
Hi. Good afternoon. I'm the director of the Stroudwater Food Pantry. And just wanted to share that we've seen a considerable increase in the amount of food that we've been distributing to families over 2020, primarily due to the hardship caused by the pandemic. We saw a 32% increase in the tonnage of food distributed. We distributed 90 tons of food in 2020. And what we've seen from a family perspective is, although we've only seen about maybe a 20 or 25% increase in the number of families that we're actually serving, the amount of food that those families are now requiring has gone up considerably because of the hardship of the pandemic. Many people have lost jobs. Many people have found themselves either being sick with COVID or taking care of family members who are sick with COVID, and has caused them to quit their part-time jobs or be in a circumstance where they couldn't work to care for others.
Doc, let me ask you this. If someone's listening to this and thinking, I would like to donate some food to my local food pantry, next time I go to the grocery store, I'll buy an extra bag. What would you like to see? What would be really helpful for you to receive at the Stroudwater Food Pantry?
So non-perishable food is always the best because it's easiest to keep and it obviously has the longest shelf life. And the things that we find most in demand are breakfast cereal, peanut butter, jelly, spaghetti, and spaghetti sauce. They're staples for any food pantry across the state, as well as canned tuna. So those are things that keep very well. They have a high impact to the families that they're given to, and particularly breakfast cereal, because so many of the families that we serve have young children. So those are the items.
Doug, thanks so much for calling in. Doug is calling in from Portland and the director of the Stroudwater Food Pantry. Kristen and Bill, I want to return to something we talked about at the beginning of the program, which is, Kristen, your campaign to let people know it's okay to reach out for help. I believe the campaign is called You Are Not Alone. Do we have a sense of how many people are out there not reaching out for help and not getting enough food to eat?
No, we don't. And this is one of our I think our biggest gaps in our work is we do not have great data on hunger. Nationally, we do not have great data on hunger. Hunger is measured through the U.S. Census Bureau and reported out through the USDA every year. And it requires people to self-identify, and which is really hard for people to do. So we know even when the numbers come out, they're likely understated. And even through our partner network, all of our partners, as Doug showed, they all keep track of their own numbers for sure. But until recently, we've never had a way to aggregate those numbers and compare it to the numbers we get from through the USDA. And so we are prior to COVID, we were in the process of rolling out an online platform that would allow all of our partners to keep track of the numbers of people that they're serving in a very protective way that keeps all information confidential and encrypted so individual data doesn't become known. And what we're really looking for while it will be really helpful to understand who we're serving, what we are most interested in seeing in this data will show us who are we not serving, because we know we are not reaching people. And, Maureen is a great example with what happened in Burlington. We have a lot of partners kind of surrounding that area who are doing amazing work. And you would think then we were meeting everybody, and then another pantry opens up that maybe is just that much closer to people's homes, or maybe just is in an area that's familiar to them, and instantly they're serving 200 people. And she was saying, the majority of them were new, my guess is their situation probably may have been exacerbated because of COVID, but my guess is their need was there pre-existing to COVID. And for whatever reason, they did not seek out a food pantry until that one opened up in Burlington. So this is an area that we are really paying close attention to in our work. And I think is really going to be the focus over the next few years is our network does an amazing job. And we know we're moving a lot of food. Doug mentioned we're also seeing our numbers are up significantly. But who are we not reaching? And we will not consider ourselves successful in closing Maine's meal gap until we know that every Mainer is getting access to the food they need when and where they need it, when it's convenient for them, where it's accessible for them, and for where they feel comfortable.
And Bill, what would you like to add to that? Do you have a sense of how many people are out there who really could use a food pantry right now and aren't, for whatever reason, whether it's transportation or pride or whatever, not accessing that?
Well, I think there's a couple things to consider in response. That I think, there was a recent U.S. Census poll study that found in the state of Maine there's approximately 24,000 people without enough food to eat. And again, that was a one-time shot. I would say it's probably even higher. I think it depends where you are in the state, how close you are to resources. We're very fortunate. We have a great group of people in our state that are very resilient. And even in a resilient time, people come together. Not only do they identify needs, but they come together to help provide resources and support. And I would concur with Kristen, you know, the data, you know, we're seeing a lot of increases, but it's really not really showing the truth. There is a big need for food in our state, and each community is a little different what they have available access, you know, and even early on in the pandemic, there was some pretty good outreach in many communities where they were actually contacting the seniors that normally would come out to those type of resources because of their health concerns. They weren't. So it's taken a lot of, you know, physical bodies going to a lot of our food banks and food pantries, I think, has increased, but we actually have a higher number of people that actually need the resources but also benefit that aren't physically there because of things have changed so much because of the health and safety concerns. And I think, too, the other thing we need to keep in mind that people haven't realized that we're in the midst of a major drought. That actually compounded the challenges we had because there were times where many of our farmers and agricultural producers would actually provide support and resources to many of our food banks and food pantries and soup kitchens. That was the way they liked to do it. And now things have changed because of the poor crop yield. I mean, it's a domino effect, but the need has been there before. But it actually, I think the COVID has actually raised the bar as far as how important for us to continue to meet those needs.
All right. Well, I want to be I want to say that right now we're joined by Craig Lapine, who handles special projects for the Maine Department of Agriculture, Conservation and Forestry. Craig, thanks so much for calling. I understand you are heading up an initiative to end hunger in Maine by 2030. How are you pursuing that goal?
Well, thanks for having me, Jennifer. And I was delighted to hear that Kristen may have just shaved 5 years off of that, which is also really good news. Kristen's been an important part of the initiative. I guess I want to respond to some of the things I've heard. I love the messages that I'm hearing from Kristen and Bill and really everybody who's been on the program about you are not alone. And I would add to that, you're not alone and it's not your fault. I really believe that when people are going hungry in our community, we have all failed in some way. And when people have access to food, when people have the financial resources to provide for themselves, that it's a big win for everyone in the community. And we're not leaving all that human potential out of the equation when people, you know, have enough food and enough money to provide for themselves. So we're doing two things in our Ending Hunger in Maine initiative, and Maine did commit itself in 2019 to end hunger in the state by 2030, and we're on kind of a two-track process right now. The people that we've heard from mostly today on the show are involved in this heroic effort to make sure that the high number of people who need food in the state are getting it right now. And we have a VISTA project that we've just launched and some other resources to support those people who are engaged in this heroic effort to meet the urgent need of now. And then we are also trying to draw the roadmap to make sure that the next time there is an economic downturn or the next time there is an unemployment crisis, we have far fewer families in Maine living on the margins and needing to access these emergency resources. And so that has to do with making sure is our economy generating good paying jobs, and is our education system creating outcomes where we have people who are ready to step into those jobs? Do working families have access to affordable childcare so they can go out and take those jobs and support themselves? There are a lot of pieces to the puzzle of ending hunger, but I'm confident that Maine can do it, and we can tackle this and really be the first state in the nation to do it.
Craig, tell us about some of the efforts Maine Farms and Maine Fishermen to help out during the pandemic.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I mean, Maine farmers and the Maine farming and fishing community have always been tremendously philanthropic and community-minded. you know, and obviously Kristen's organization runs Mainers Feeding Mainers, which connects, which always has connected Maine growers and people who need it. And then the federal government sort of adopted that model with the Food Boxes program. Unfortunately, in three of the five rounds of Food Boxes programs, we haven't had Maine suppliers, but we just got the good news this week that there will be Maine farms and Maine distributors included in the latest round. So people are getting Maine food through these boxes. And similarly, the fishing community has been very generous, and through organizations like Good Shepherd and others, what we have here is a great network to connect those suppliers, connect those people with those foods, with finding out where the need is and getting it there efficiently. And that's one of the things that the folks on this call are really experts at.
Well, Craig, thanks so much for calling in. Craig Lapine with the Department of Agriculture, Conservation, and Forestry. We are going to take another quick break. When we come back, more of your questions and comments. We'll be right back.
Listener support brings us Maine Calling with help from Maine Community Foundation, saluting frontline workers, nonprofit organizations, and donors for their strength and support.
I'm Peter O'Dowd. California Democratic Congressman Ro Khanna joins us to talk about the party's legislative priorities, what working in a divided Congress might look like, and Donald Trump's upcoming impeachment trial. Also, are some people gaming the system to jump in line for a coronavirus vaccine? That's next time on Here and Now.
Stay with us Here and Now, upcoming at the top of the hour at 12 noon today here on Maine Public Radio.
The center of British finance was kind of left out of the post-Brexit trade agreement, which for other financial centers in Europe, maybe not the worst thing.
It is the major international financial center, and the Europeans want a slice of it.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Oh, can they get that slice? We'll have that story for you and the numbers from Wall Street, of course, next time on Marketplace.
Marketplace this afternoon at 6:30 here on Maine Public Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You're listening to Maine Calling. We are talking about food insecurity in Maine, especially now during this pandemic. My guests, Kristen Maley with Good Shepherd Food Bank and Bill Gwinden with MEMA. Join our conversation, 1-800-399-3566. If you hurry, you can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. We're joined now by Ben Martins from Maine Coast Fishermen's Association. Ben, thank you so much for calling in. And I understand your organization has jumped into action during this pandemic, trying to make sure that Maine seafood is available to people who could use it.
Yeah, thanks so much for inviting us and for talking about this important topic. You know, when the pandemic hit, a lot of the fishermen in Maine, they kind of had to tie up their boats because they lost the market for a lot of our seafood that normally ends up in restaurants. And so we were able to go out and get a little bit of funding to kickstart a project where we essentially paid fishermen a living wage to go out and catch fish that were abundant in the ocean. And then we're supporting shoreside infrastructure by having it processed locally. And then we're able to donate it into local food insecure populations through Good Shepherd and other programs throughout the state.
Tell me about the philosophy behind that. I mean, this is something that is helping those who are hungry at the same time helping Maine fishermen who are hit hard by the pandemic.
Yeah, I mean, essentially our organization believes really strongly that having a vibrant working waterfront is crucial to the future of our state. And the fishermen are kind of the engine that keep it going. And we need seafood moving across the docks. And so, you know, when we saw that fishermen couldn't make a living, they were actually going out and losing money on trips because there was nobody to buy the fish that they were landing. And then we were hearing all the terrible news about food insecurity increasing in Maine. We really thought there was an opportunity to kind of hopefully solve two problems at once. And obviously, it's a drop in the bucket when we really look at the big picture. But since we started this project, we've been able to deliver close to 180,000 seafood portions for donation, which is really significant when you think about the quality of the food that we're able to bring in off the coast of Maine.
Ben, thanks so much for calling in. Ben Martins with the Maine Coast Fishermen's Association. We're going to go to Biddeford now and a call from Kirsta. Hi, Kirsta. Go ahead.
Hi, Jennifer. Thanks for having me. I'm calling to say that Biddeford Community Gardens recognizes the great need for, you know, food. Well, we recognize the food insecurity problem in our community, and we're trying hard to provide low-income neighborhoods with spaces to grow food. Recently, we just had the local city approved a space at Rotary Park where we will be planting food for the low-income neighbors in that area. And we are also partnering with organizations such as Maine Meal Assistance Program and the Bon Appetit Program and also our local food pantries.
Kirsta, thank you for your work and for calling into Maine Calling today. Going to go to an email here from Anna Corson. Anna is from Full Plates, Full Potential, and she says that her organization, they've been responding to the urgent need resulting from schools going remote or using hybrid learning method models. Many students that rely on school meals, 80,000 students in Maine, are now struggling to access those meals. And she said, we've given over $1 million in emergency funding to schools and community organizations across the state to support their efforts. School meals, she writes, are a critical source of nutrition for so many Maine children. An important point, Bill.
Yeah, you know, I think it's really important to understand that, you know, prior to COVID, we had quite a few great school nutrition programs, but and that was targeting certain individuals and you know, target groups based on community need. And as we saw with COVID, it actually expanded the needs more dramatically because of loss of jobs, uncertainty whether schools would be in session. And, you know, we have schools. It's a school's local decision whether they want to continue their food programs, school nutrition programs. And I would commend the state schools for doing such a great job of persevering. Even when schools were not in session, they were trying to meet the needs and were trying to make sure people were provided food, even to the point where they were taking school buses and delivering food to children when they weren't in school. But it is, again, that need continues and the uncertainty of whether schools are in session or not because of so many factors. The idea is that regardless if school's in session, there's needing feeding needs for children and families, especially the younger families that are on, you know, on fixed incomes and barely getting by, as mentioned earlier. You know, we have many people that were just barely making their ends meet, and you bring in a pandemic with a variety of challenges, it actually increases the need for more resources and more accessibility.
An email here from John, he writes, the kitchens preparing these high-quality dinners make no effort to see how many can be consumed. What a shame. Some organizations reimburse for meals to, quote, needy, yet many meals are wasted. Kristen, what do you say to John, who believes there's a lot of waste in this system?
I would disagree. I think, obviously, at sometimes when you're trying to plan, you don't always get it right. But I've heard amazing stories of organizations who, when they see when that happens, just go above and beyond to figure out where does that food need to go.
Yeah.
I think one of the highlights to me of this pandemic has been the amazing coordination across programs that before, even though they were serving a lot of times the same families, they weren't working together. And now we're seeing amazing collaboration. I know an example is in Knox County, where we have all of our partners in Knox County are connected with the Knox County Gleaners, the EMA there,
right,
the Food Council. And they've been, whenever one of them has excess of something, then they'll call the others and they'll get it over to those who then, I have a distribution tomorrow, I could use that excess. And so that kind of community collaboration has just been going on in spades. And so we don't always get it right. We're not a just in time kind of have our delivery model. But for the most part, I think they're getting it pretty right.
All right. We'll go to Steve, who's calling in from Wayne. Hi, Steve. Go ahead.
Thank you, Jennifer. I'm on the board of the Winthrop Hot Meal Kitchen in Winthrop, Maine. We provide a hot, nutritious, delicious lunch currently 4 days a week, Monday through Thursday. We've been partners with Good Shepherd Food Bank for many, many years. As a matter of fact, just yesterday we went and picked up a load. This past year, we've seen an increase in needs. I just put together our numbers for meals served, and we have volunteers. We have about 25 volunteers, and last year we put out 14,800 meals for Winthrop and Wayne clients, and that was a 28% increase in meals served from 2019. And I heard Ben from the Maine Fishermen's Association on earlier. I just ordered some fish that we'll pick up next week from Good Shepherd, and the pollock and monkfish that the Maine Fishermen provide makes excellent fish chowder. We can put out 100 servings of fish chowder with the fish that the fishermen provide.
Oh, Steve, it's so nice to hear that. Thank you so much for calling in today. We'll move on to Biddeford and to Don. Hi, Don. Go ahead.
Yes, hi. Can you hear me?
I can. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Yeah, my name is Don Bisson from the Biddeford Food Pantry. And, you know, I just wanted to chime in and to say that, first of all, you know, when you look at the television and you see down south that people are waiting in line with cars for miles to get food, I just wanted to tell the people out there that the need is real in Maine. It really is. It is definitely we have a need that we've never seen before. We used to serve about 600 families per month. Now we're up to about 750 families per month. It used to be once a month, but it's not once a month. We don't, since COVID, we don't tie them to once a month because mothers have children that are home some 2 or 3 days a week instead of going to school. So it requires more food, and so it takes us more money to provide the extra food and everything. I just spent $2,050 at Good Shepherd Food Bank to buy my food for last week. And sometimes we supplement by going to the dollar store, which is really spending $1,000 there. So, you know, the need is really there. And so, you know, we're thankful that we have Good Shepherd Food Bank to purchase our food and to manage, and God is good because we can serve the people that come to our facility. And can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, and also, you know, people tell us their stories when they come to the, you know, it's all done curbside, but they tell us their stories and with tears in their eyes, you know, they've lost their job or they've had, you know, divorce or what have you, and they oftentimes tell me that they're embarrassed to be coming to the food pantry because they've never done this before. So it's really amazing to see firsthand the desperation of some people, and it's good that we have these facilities to serve and to feed the people of Maine. So,
Don, thank you so much for calling, and thank you for the work you're doing at the Biddeford Food Pantry. Bill, we have a lot of emails and a lot of calls coming in from people who work with food pantries all over Maine, and I'm wondering, and Krista, maybe you can answer this as well, is there a list somewhere if someone wants to become involved in the food pantry near them? How does one locate it?
Well, there is actually a couple, and I'll let Kristen share about the Good Shepherds, and I'll share a little bit about the other.
Yeah, sure. Thank you, Bill. So on our website, feedingmaine.org, there's a what we call a food map where you can put in your zip code, and it will list all of the partners in your area along with contact information. And then we also encourage if somebody's looking for food, you also can call 211 and they can assist you with certainly they have the list of all of our partners as well as other assistance programs outside of the food bank network as well.
And Bill?
Yeah, I want to echo what Kristen said. You know, we partner so much, and there's so much out there, but there are a group of feeding partners that meet weekly to talk about how we can encourage each other, share resources, collaborate, encourage. I guess the one thing I say is that we're not alone in this. And, you know, we may have one time thought it can't happen in Maine, but it is in Maine, and we can get through it. And we have a group network that meets weekly. And I give my email. It's william.gwinden@maine.gov. You send me your email, and I'll get you connected with that group.
And Gwinden spelled G-U-I-N-D-O-N. A tweet here from Norman. I saw a post going around online that listed things food pantries often need. It included feminine hygiene products, which I never would have thought of. Is that something most places would want to be able to distribute? Kristen?
Yes, absolutely. People don't realize, but the SNAP program that we all hear about can only be used for food. So any kind of personal care products like feminine hygiene products, toothpaste, diapers, you can't use SNAP to buy any of those items. And so those items are absolutely in high demand. Most of the food that we get is donated. We don't get a lot of those items donated. And so we don't always have a lot either. So folks, oftentimes our partners need to go and purchase those outside of the food bank, which costs them a lot of money. So absolutely, sure. Those donations are definitely needed.
Great. I'm going to try to squeeze in one more call. Aaron calling from Piscataquis County. Aaron, if you could be fairly brief, that'd be great.
I can. Yeah. Hi, Kristen. So Piscataquis Regional Food Center, we operate in Piscataquis County. We are effectively a redistribution hub for food coming from Good Shepherd to this area. And we're working together with them to help move more food out more efficiently and to more places. And it's going really well. But what I'd like to say is just I'm really heartened to hear some of the discussion about the involvement, the support for our Maine producers and farmers and other producers, and that it's really important as we move ahead and in trying to end hunger in Maine to think about how hunger relief and the rest of our food economy is tied together, and that we have opportunity here to support everybody, the producers and the folks who need food. It's a critical link, and I'm glad to hear a conversation about it.
Yeah. Aaron, thanks so much for calling in. Bill, go ahead quickly, please.
Yeah, I think it's really important that recently you may have heard about some of the issues regarding the Farmers to Families Food Box program, and there's been a really concentrated effort to advocate for Maine producers and agriculture because it is a valuable resource, and it's so close to our heart and our communities, and I think that's going to continue. We've been very fortunate to have some really good companies step up to the plate and actually sacrifice their own organization to help us get food to our communities.
Well, Aaron, thanks for your call. And to our guests, thank you for being with us for the hour. Bob Gwinden, Disaster State Relations Liaison and Mass Care Lead for the Maine Emergency Management Agency. Kristen Maley is the president of the Good Shepherd Food Bank. Today's sound engineer was George Thomas. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. Tomorrow on the program, Maine CDC Director Dr. Nirav Shah. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.